We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you guide us now as we meditate upon another precious section of the Word which you have given us for the salvation of our souls. I pray that you reveal the treasures which are hidden in it to us and strengthen our faith in our Savior as we go in grace and knowledge of Him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the opening words of Acts chapter 1, the day he was taken up. So I'm going to read through the text. It's Acts chapter 1, the first five verses. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. 40 wonderful days. Luke here is drawing a connection between his first letter that he had written to most excellent Theophilus and the next one, which he is starting now. The phrase that Jesus began both to do and teach is interesting because it parallels what Moses said about the Lord God in Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 24, written shortly before Moses died. And this is what he said: O Lord God, thou hast begun to show thy servant thy greatness. And what a beginning it was. You think of the 10 plagues down in Egypt. You think of the crossing of the Red Sea. You think of the wandering in the wilderness where manna came down from heaven every day to feed them. And their shoes didn't even wear. And this is only the beginning. What's the rest going to be like? And what a greater beginning it was to Luke and Theophilus. This is only the start. Grow old along with me, the best is yet to be. And that's true. We haven't seen anything yet. So the time Luke is mentioning here in Acts chapter 1, in the first five verses, is rather a filler connecting the Gospel of Luke with the Epistle of Acts. To put it another way, it covers the time from the manger in Bethlehem to the ascension into heaven near Bethany. Much of it is repetition. We won't cover this all again, except to mention the close connection between Jesus and the Holy Spirit. The two work together in connection and conjunction with the Father. And this truth is precious beyond words. Jesus told his disciples, "It is good for you that I go away." And that shocked them. But the reason was that Jesus was going to send a full measure of the Holy Spirit once he ascended up to the Father. So we're in even a better condition right now than we would have been if Jesus was still physically here. He's with us in spirit, certainly, but we're in good shape. To summarize before we move on, in the Gospel, Luke zeroes in on Jesus. Here in Acts, Luke zeroes in on the Holy Spirit. The epistle of Acts is the Holy Spirit's work, and we're going to see that. 40 wonderful days, that's the thing that caught my eye. And Luke mentions the 40 days for a reason. This would be the time between the resurrection and ascension into heaven of Jesus. From the time he rose to the time he ascended was 40 days. And what a wonderful 40 days they were. In Scripture, the number 40 is often used as a testing time. It signifies a period of trial or probation. One example, Jonah came to Nineveh. And this is what he preached. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. 40 days. For Nineveh, it was a time of testing or probation. They passed. The people of Nineveh repented during those 40 days. And God pulled back on the judgment. Number two, Jesus was tempted by the devil for 40 days. And this was right after he was baptized, right after he heard the voice from heaven, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased," and right after the Holy Spirit descended in the form of a dove and landed upon him, right after that, he was driven by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness and tempted by the devil. And this was a time of testing for the Lord. And here's how it unfolded in Matthew chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God." Remember the voice from heaven? "This is my beloved Son." Now the devil, if thou be the Son of God, if this is really true, command these stones be made bread. You don't want to starve to death out here if you're the Son of God. But Jesus answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Strike one. Then the devil taketh him up to the holy city, and setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, "If thou be the Son of God," again, testing what God really had said, "This is my beloved Son. If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written," now the devil quotes Scripture, or misquotes Scripture, "He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone." Jesus said unto him, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Strike two. Again, the devil taketh him up to an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, all the good things. He hid everything else. And saith unto him, "All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Oh, they belonged to Jesus already anyway. The devil was lying. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Strike three. Then the devil leaveth him. And behold, angels came and ministered unto him. So these three temptations took place at the end of the 40 days and 40 nights, where Jesus was being severely tempted by his archenemy. And he passed. And so the battle is over. The devil had to leave. He'll still do a few things, but it's not going to work. Example number three. Moses was on Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights. And during that time, he was speaking face to face with God. Exodus 24, beginning at verse 15. And Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount. And the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And in the sight of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. 40 in Scripture often is a time of testing. And it was the children of Israel who were being tested at the bottom of the mount. And at the end of the 40 days, when Moses came down from the mount, Israel was worshiping the golden calf. They failed the test. And you know the results of that. Example number four, the spies in the Holy Land. Numbers chapter 14, beginning at verse 26. Another time of testing. The Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, How long shall I bear with this evil congregation, which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, As truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. What did they say? Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to the whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me, doubtless ye shall not come into the land, concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land that which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in the wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bury your whoredoms, until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. After the number of the days in which ye searched the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, shall ye bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. So the spies were in the Holy Land, checking it out, for 40 days. And when they came back, now this was a time of testing. And there were 12 of them. And at the end of the 40 days, they came back. And they basically said to Joshua, or to Moses rather, the land which we went to search it out is a beautiful land. In other words, God was telling the truth. It was a land filled with milk and honey. A bunch of grapes was so heavy, two guys had to carry it. And it was indeed a beautiful land. It's just exactly the way God says it was. Well, they should have stopped there, but they didn't. They kept on, but there were powerful giants in that land. And we were like grasshoppers next to them. We didn't have a chance against them. And they have cities there. The walls reach up into heaven. There's no way that we can conquer this land. That's what 10 of them said. After 40 days, they're failing the test. Joshua and Caleb said, well, but God promised that he'd give us the victory. We can do this. We can defeat these guys. Let's just believe what God said and go in and take the land. But the other one said, no, we can't do that. We don't have a chance. And the people listened to the 10. And so the judgment came. You want it, you got it. And all of the men, 20 years and older, fell in the wilderness. God was their official undertaker for 40 years. And the children that they said would be killed out in the wilderness, they were the ones that finally inherited the land. So, example number 5. 5 is the number of grace. That's why I chose it. David challenged Goliath, but Goliath had already challenged the children of Israel for 40 days. 1 Samuel 17, verse 16. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. Now, during that 40-day period, Saul and the army of Israel were being challenged and tested. It was a time of testing. And what would have happened if David had not come to visit his brothers on the 40th day? What would have happened? Well, Goliath and the Philistines, they would have won. Israel would have been wiped out. It was a time of their testing, and they were failing miserably. Saul was scared half to death, and the army was scared half to death. But on the 40th day, God's timing again. God's timing. It's always perfect. The 40th day, as the clock was winding down, David came. And for the 40th time, Goliath came out and boasted, send me a man, and I'll fight with him. If he beats me, we'll be your slaves. If I beat him, he'll be our. And David took the challenge. I'm not afraid of this heathen. Saul discouraged him, said, you can't do this. You're just a boy. You don't have any experience fighting. Goliath is a man of war. For years and years and years, he's undefeated. And David said, one time a bear came to my flock and took a lamb. And another time a lion did the same thing. And I followed the bear and I killed him and saved the lamb. And I followed the lion and I killed him and saved the lamb. And the Lord that delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me also from the paw of this Philistine. The word should be exactly as it's paw. Use the same word as he did for the lion and the bear. And you know the rest of the story. But it was the 40th day, and David was the reason why the children of Israel passed the test. So this is why the Holy Spirit mentions that Jesus appeared to his disciples and many others for a period of 40 days. It was a time of temptation, a time of testing. Who was being tested? It wasn't Jesus. And it wasn't the disciples. It was the enemy. Annas and Caiaphas, the high priests. The scribes, seminary professors we call them. Scribes and Pharisees and elders. The ones who had contested with Jesus for 3 years, denied that he was the Son of God, claimed that he did miracles by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. Claimed that he was an apostle. Apostate. And so for these 40 years, after Jesus rose from the dead, this was a time of testing for the enemy. And where were they? A lot of these things were taking place in the temple. Where was the enemy? They were hiding. They were scared stiff. And in the 40 years that Jesus, he did many, many uncontestable signs. One thing after the other. And after the great earthquake, some of the tombs were opened. And some of the saints in the Old Testament came out and appeared unto many. And this whole thing took place during the 40 years, which was a time of testing for the devil and all of his wicked ones, and Annas and Caiaphas and all the wicked crew, and they failed the test. They couldn't stop Jesus from ascending into heaven. They had their chance, but they couldn't pass it. So at the end of 40 days, what happened? He took his disciples outside of Bethany. We've talked about that already. What a beautiful place Bethany was for Jesus. It was only a bow shot, a half hour's distance from Jerusalem. That's all it was. But as far as the enemy was concerned, it could have been a million miles because they couldn't touch Jesus. So the disciples during those 40 days were tested also and strengthened. There was many infallible proofs, and the many saints that rose after the great earthquake. And this is why Luke mentions the 40 days. You know that numbers in Scripture are very, very important. And there's a literal meaning to many of them, and there's also a spiritual meaning. It was a literal 40 days, no question about that. But it was always a time of testing for the wicked ones. And Satan and all of his wicked ones failed the test. They couldn't stop Jesus.